Our second scripture reading is from Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Let us listen to the word of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So as a teenager, I was a wrestler. I know it's hard to imagine. But one of the things I remember hearing from the coach and teammates say was this phrase, no pain, no gain. It made us think we were tough. It made us push ourselves past exhaustion. It's one of those phrases that makes folks think pain is actually good. No pain, no gain. I don't know about you, but pain isn't always good, right? Certainly we can push ourselves, but I've seen teens and young adults who are injuring themselves in sports and they still keep pushing themselves and it can actually cause permanent damage. Now this simple phrase, no pain, no gain, it's so catchy that it translates many times to other areas in life, even to theology, to religion. In the case of devastation and loss, evil, hurt, even death, I've heard some people repeat this idea, no pain, no gain. The truth is, God doesn't desire us to be in pain. It's not God testing us, trying to see if we are faithful enough. It's just bad theology. In fact, God had a different plan for us, something much better, but thanks to Adam and Eve, we live in a fallen world. Our bodies fail, and people lie and cheat and hurt. If you've ever felt the sting of death, if you ache in your knees, if you get sick, if you lose part of your finger, we certainly can blame Adam and Eve for all the ills and aches of our world. At the end of the day, it probably won't help us. Now, if you want proof that God still doesn't desire us to be in pain, God sent Jesus to fix all this mess, to bring about the kingdom of God, and he'll eventually come again to usher in a new heaven and a new earth, give us new bodies, ones that never fail. It's all great, right? But it still doesn't fix my finger, or the cancer, or depression, death or injustice, or even those emotional things that we carry. Truth is, there's too many people struggling with pain and hurt and loss, and if we can't blame God for it, then I want to blame something. Because it's just not fair. It's wrong. Now, we're not the only ones to struggle with hurt and difficulty and pain. In fact, to be a Christian in Rome in the first century, it could prove very painful. The emperor at the time, Nero, was persecuting and torturing Christians. In order to give those people hope, Paul writes a letter to the Roman church. And this is the one we just read. And in it, he provides a formula to deal with pain. This is the formula Paul provides. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. Which basically means as difficult or as painful as it might be, God can provide hope to those who suffer or to those who are in pain. Now, this would be hard to hear from someone who had never experienced suffering, but Paul, by this point in his life, had much experience in this department. By the time he writes this letter to Rome, he's on his third missionary journey to Ephesus, and he's just reminded the church in Corinth, in the letter there, all the suffering that he's endured. It says in 2 Corinthians 11, He was imprisoned with countless floggings, often near death. 5 times he received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. He was shipwrecked 3 times. Everyone heard him. Bandits, Gentiles, even his own people. He'd been sleepless, hungry, thirsty, cold, and naked. Yet after all this difficulty and pain, somehow he discovered a formula to find hope and peace. And he wants to share this to his brothers and sisters in Rome. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. Now, I want you to be certain to know that Paul's formula is descriptive. It's not prescriptive. The reason this matters is that as Christians, suffering isn't desirable or to be pursued. Pain and turmoil aren't to be wished on anybody. It's descriptive because it recognizes that pain is inevitable. It doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have, how educated you are, whether you're Christian or not. Everyone experiences pain, loss, hurt, and suffering. And if you haven't, I want to know who you are. But if you have, certainly there are some who have experienced more of it than others. There's, of course, always the cynics and skeptics out there saying, if God's all-powerful, then why is there suffering? Why does God allow bad things to happen? And these are very clever questions, tempting us to deny the existence of a loving and caring God. I would imagine folks asking questions like these probably are struggling themselves. Their pain is real and heart-wrenching. But God isn't the one to blame. Sin, evil, and pain come because we live in a broken world. Each of us is broken. In fact, we even hurt the people we love the most. Not just the people who we don't agree with or who are our enemies. And yet, the only one who provides freedom, hope, and peace, the only one giving us grace and forgiveness, even though we don't deserve it, is God through Jesus Christ. Pastor and author Peter Stenke provides insight into Paul's formula, saying this: we waste suffering if we gloss over, deny, avoid, or neglect its message. If, however, we can learn from pain, it is not wasted. But pain actually becomes a source of life and health. To put it in simple terms, here's a different catchy phrase: don't waste the pain. Whether we like it or not, pain is a given. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. So we have a few options. We can be angry and blame God for it. We can push through it and we can avoid it. Or instead, we can learn from it. Like Stenke says, allowing pain to be a source of life and health. So a better phrase than no pain, no gain is don't waste the pain. It's still an oversimplification of working through hurt and pain. It takes a long time to heal, to get to a place where you can help others. But when you're no longer struggling through the worst parts, that's when you can empathize with others who are struggling. That's when you don't waste the pain. Paul's telling us that pain's a given, and he's experienced difficulties, suffering along the way. Somehow, in Christ, it's provided him life, health, and hope. So denial and avoidance of pain are a waste. As hard as things might be, there can be hope and life. Don't waste the pain. There's a couple in Knoxville that I knew named Marcia and Paul Fisher. They did everything for the church. I couldn't believe how dedicated they were. They studied Scripture daily and prayed fervently. They led Sunday school classes and were leaders in the church. If they'd ever faced a difficulty, they never seemed to flinch or get anxious. Their faith seemed rock solid, and others would follow their lead. I finally found the secret. As I got to know them better, each shared the many struggles they had faced over their lifetime, not just to me, but they were willing to tell their faith journey to many. They told it to teenagers in Sunday school, to others who were struggling. They'd grown up in poor rural Pennsylvania and married very young. And when their teenage son had gotten cancer, it about shattered them. He survived. And it forever changed their son. But somehow it forever changed them. They discovered that Christ was powerful. The people surrounding them helped them through this. Now, Paul and Marcia were far from perfect, but they shared these things not to brag, but to provide empathy and to share their hope in times of struggle. Similarly, our task as Christians, according to the Apostle Paul, is to live in a way that we don't waste the pain, to allow hope to come out of difficulty. If you face divorce, then you can support others struggling through it. If you had a difficult upbringing, then you can be a good role model. If you've ever been hurt by a bully, then we can stand up when others can't. That's how we don't waste the pain. I don't know about you, but for all the suffering we've faced, some of you, your friends, your family, I know there's real struggle and real pain out there. For those who aren't, we know there's pain yet to come. But God gives us a way for pain to be a source of life, health, and hope. And Paul says it best. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Pain can turn into hope. And Christ brings hope every hour and every day. So don't waste the pain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.